This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, we are living in a culture nowadays which basically people don't want to take accountability, take stock of their own action. And this destroys relationships, it destroys communities, it destroys societies. But in our tradition, the Islamic tradition, the idea of self-accountability was certainly one which was emphasized pretty deeply. And in fact, so much so that Al-Ghazali, he's got an entire book on the matter in his magnum opus, his compendious work, Hayya al-Muddin, the masterpiece. And the kitab is called the Book of Kitab al-Muraqaba al-Muhasaba. It's actually been translated into English, which is the Book of Self-Examination and Vigilance. I'm going to be looking at some of the notes I've taken and tell you some of the things that he has said in regards to self-examination. Of course, first of all, I mean, there are many aqwal of the ulama and speeches of the predecessors which are very pertinent to this particular inquiry or this subject of inquiry. Chief most, I would say, of the predecessors is what Umar ibn Khattab has said, which is that hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu, that hold yourselves to account before you are held to account. What I found very interesting about the book, about this particular book, is that Al-Ghazali, he starts off by putting forward a trade analogy. And he does this throughout his book. He makes analogies for states of mind and psycho-spiritual states. So to read some of it, he says, "Know that when those who engage in commerce and deal in commodities settle accounts, they seek a healthy profit. Hence, the trader avails himself of his associate, handing him his money for the trade and then settling his account with him. It is the same with the intellect, aql, as it does commerce on the way to the hereafter. Its object and profit is the purification of the soul, because its felicity is through this." Felicity is basically good fortune or its success. It's very interesting how he phrases that, because actually what he's saying to us is we should think of purification, self-examination, in the same way as we would think about business. We should want to make the biggest profit possible. And of course, making the biggest profit possible is not just getting new business, which in this case would be doing good deeds, but it's also making sure that the customers remain, that we don't lose capital or that we don't lose investment value. That of course means purifying ourselves. And the way he mentions this is very powerful. He considers the heart as the main organ. It's the main organ. And then there are seven members that lead to the heart and which need to be purified. And he mentions that then the servant of God's counsel to his soul about the moment of his life, after which he prefers counsel about his seven members. And what are the other seven members? The eye, ear, tongue, stomach, the private parts, hands, and foot. These are the seven members. In other words, one needs to keep track of what he is seeing, what he is hearing, what he is saying, especially saying. And he's got an entire book on this, in fact, Al-Ghazali, about how your words can get you in trouble. And there are many hadiths on the matter. You know, the Adman al-Jannah, the Prophet ﷺ said that I guarantee Jannah, meaning that Allah guarantees it for those who are able to guarantee that which is between their two legs and their jaw, basically. So this is, and then he goes into detail, Al-Ghazali, about all of those seven things, while holding yourself to account for those seven things. And so he breaks it down into different, if you like, categories. The first thing is you have to make a commitment to yourself. You have to condition. This is called al-musharata. You condition, I am not going to do these things. I am not going to, you say to yourself, speak bad words, swear words. I'm not going to swear, you know. I am not going to backbite this person. I am not going to say, and what is backbiting? Is dhikrika akhaka li makrah. Hate is saying that about your brother which he hates, or your sister, of course. Do not say that which your brother, Muslim brother or sister, will not like. It's a form of cowardice. Don't do this, yes? Or I am not going to see something which is haram. Of course, it's difficult to do nowadays in the age that we're living in, but we have to do musharata. We have to condition ourselves for these kinds of things. And once you have done that, once you've conditioned yourself, then you start to examine yourself. So this is the stage two, which he mentions here. After you've said to yourself, look, I'm not going to do this, and everyone's going to fall into, and this is, goes back to a nafs al-lawwama. The Quran says that he swears, la'uqusim will be nafs al-lawwama, swear by the self-reproaching soul, meaning you keep exam is so important that Allah actually even makes qasam by it, which means he swears by it. The reproaching soul, you keep going back to, why have I done that? Regretting. Now, in modern culture, people say you shouldn't regret anything. I say you shouldn't regret anything, except for your sins. And I see this is exactly how Islam, you must regret your sins. It's a part of nadam. It's a part of tawbah. Nadam is part of tawbah. Regretting is part of tawbah. So after you've done the musharata, then you have to be steadfast. Istiqama, you have to have istiqama. Now you try your best to stay on the path that you're on. And then you do muhasabah, which is self-examination after the act. You do something bad, you examine yourself now. You have to think, why did this happen? Just as you would in any situation in life, something happens. You get into a big argument with your spouse. You say something bad to your parents. You commit a major sin. You commit a minor sin. You look where you shouldn't be looking. Then you sit with yourself after you've committed this sin, which we were all bound to commit. And you say to yourself that, you know, why did I do this? What triggered this behavior? Why did I fall into this? How can I make sure that I don't go into this again? So this is another thing you do. After you've done that, then you go on to the next stage, which he mentions. And this is, guys, this is extremely important. Let's be honest. Because he mentions here, look, the fact is, and this is in his fifth chapter, and this is translated, you can read it yourself. Fact is, when a person examines his soul, he finds it tempted by sin. Therefore, he must punish it in manners described. He mentions it before. You have to discipline yourself. Mu'aqabah. You don't just discipline your child. You don't discipline this one or that one. You discipline yourself as well. How are you going to discipline yourself? You can fast. You can do this. You can do mana. You can stop yourself from having certain things. If you don't discipline yourself, life will discipline you, you see. And so that is the next step. And then this is very powerful. In the sixth chapter, he starts by saying, know that your worst enemy is your soul inside you. It was created to incite ill and predisposed towards evil and desecration of the good. So this, once again, is a very interesting take. And he starts going into a monologue. And Ghazali's got this very powerful way of just telling it how it is. Listen to what he says here. He says, O soul, if a servant of yours, nay, a brother, should confront you with something you dislike, what anger and loathing would you harbor for him? Yet how recklessly you then expose yourself to God's loathing, anger, and stern punishment. You think you can bear his wrath? Far from it. If your cockiness has lulled you away from his painful wrath, then try for yourself. Put yourself under the sun or in the bathhouse for an hour. Bring your fingers close to the flame and find out how you bear up. Or are you deluded about God's nobility and favor, his disinterestedness with respect to your acts of obedience and worship? Why do you not rely on his kindness in the weighty matters of the world? When a foe pursues you, why do you devise a stratagem to repel him without relying on God's kindness? You see, we are self-deluded. And he has a very powerful monologue. The book is filled with these kinds of monologues. One should have a systemized method of holding themselves to account. And with that, I conclude. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you enjoyed that and you want to watch the next episode, click here.